Now, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Night Time is a play based on the novel by Mark Haddon. Now, it's a play adapted by Simon Stevens, and the story is based around Christopher, and it sees him internalising in his own way everything that is happening around him. And he begins by becoming a detective, investigating the death of his neighbour's dog, Wellington, which leads him to discover that his father has lied about his wife's, Christopher's mother's death, along with other unexpected twists. Now, it sounds like a bit of a thriller. It looks very spectacular. But as a play, how can you appreciate it if you can't see very well? Well, this is where audio description comes into it, and our expert on audio description, Vera Yarding, joins us now. Hello.
Don't know about any pressure there then. Expert on audio description. Hi, Simon. Nice to talk with you and listeners. Yeah.
And you've been to see this, an audio-described showing of this. Tell us a bit about it, because it looks really good.
It is very, very good. And it's, I think, on its second UK tour, National Theatre production originally. And Christopher Boone is the central character, as you rightly said in your introduction, Simon. And he has, whether it's Asperger's syndrome, I think it is, but basically that is very much, you know, part of his character, and that is, in a sense, the backdrop to which or against which the action unfolds. And yeah, it's quite an intense story in one way, but brilliantly acted. And the guy playing, there are a couple of them who share the role, I understand it at the moment, the lead character, are really, really good. And the cast as a whole, there wasn't a weak link at all. Audio description-wise, well, I saw it in Nottingham on this occasion, and Miranda Yates provided the audio description there. Miranda from working with Vocalise on this occasion, the audio description charity funded by Arts Council England. And there was a touch to her, which, if anyone isn't familiar with how audio description works, is whereby people who are visually impaired and their companions or, you know, friends, relatives, whoever goes with them to the theatre, get the chance to go on stage and explore the set, have that described to them, and also maybe some of the costumes and or some of the props, particularly the more unusual ones, things with which, you know, you're not familiar, perhaps things from another century or a different era or what have you. And that's what we did as part of the audio-described experience at the Royal Centre or the Royal Theatre in Nottingham.
Because from what I see, what I've read, the actual set changes quite dramatically, doesn't it, through the actual play?
Yeah, and it's sort of in a box set, really. You go on and it's described as a box, and there were sort of cubes, black and white cubes, as I remember. And a lot of the actors bring props. There aren't loads of props, actually, but they bring things on and off. They often sit on different sort of boxes or cubes or benches on the stage while action is happening as well. And yeah, it's quite a pacey production, you know, very fast moving, but it starts, you know, as you rightly said when you were setting out the plot at the start of the feature this afternoon, it started very much with Christopher sort of discovering that his neighbor's dog has been killed, and he decides to turn detective to see who has actually committed that particular offense. He also then discovers that his mum isn't coming back, and he is led to believe that she's had a heart condition which has ultimately been fatal. And then, it's difficult to know how much to say without giving too much of the story away. What I can go on to say is that he does end up going to London and then returning to Swindon, and Swindon is where the play starts, that's where he lives, that's where he was brought up with his parents. And he goes to a special school. He ends up taking a maths A-level, and I won't give too much away on that score, other than to say, at the end of the play, so after the curtain call, audience members who wish, and most people did, can stay in their seats, and Christopher, as in the actor, comes on and talks to the audience about a particular maths problem, a mathematical conundrum, which was part, I think, of the exam paper, or even if it's not, it's just an example of the type of thing that he enjoys doing as a character. And that's quite impressive, and, you know, certainly as someone who is absolutely hopeless at anything mathematical other than basic arithmetic, it certainly impressed me, at least.
Did it make you feel a part of the production, then?
I wouldn't know the part of a production, but it made me feel very engaged with the production, perhaps, if I can put it like that, Simon. It's certainly quite thought-provoking, very thought-provoking, in fact. And it's certainly very engaging, and I come back to that word that I used a moment ago. So it gets you thinking about maybe the condition, the Asperger's syndrome condition, which I think is the correct terminology in this particular case. It also, gets you feeling about thinking about different relationships and parents, children, all that sort of thing. And, you know, there's different relationships between people living in the street, his neighbours, all the rest of it. And the journey to London is very powerfully done and very skillfully done, you know, bearing in mind, you know, it's on a train and all the rest of it. Then when he's in London, he's on the underground and he takes his pet rat with him and his pet rat escapes onto the underground tracks and he goes to fetch him, all a bit nerve-wracking and all the rest of it. Anyway, I'm happy to say that nothing untoward ultimately happens, but you are slightly on the end of your seat just waiting for everything to sort of move on, hopefully positively. And at the end of it all, I think it's fair to say, and I can say this without giving too much away, it does end on a much more positive note than you might think would be the case at various points during the play.
The thing about going to see live theatre as well is that it's fantastic being in the same time and moment that the actor is. I think is a real immediacy about it. And the audio description, listening to the way you've described it, it just brings it all to life.
I think that's the point. Anything live for me, and this is a personal thing, and obviously everyone is different, but I think if you're watching music, if you're enjoying a play, whether it's drama, if you've gone to see a ballet, if you are in an auditorium, open air, indoors, large, small, whatever, the fact it is that you are, in the nicest possible way, part of a captive audience. You're there deliberately to watch the performance. Whereas if you're at home watching a film, listening to the radio, listening to music, perhaps you're doing other things at the same time. Perhaps it's, you know, something that you get sidetracked from or distracted about. Whereas if you're in the auditorium, and particularly if it is done well, then you are very much part of that live experience. And there is a buzz. There's something about the atmosphere, Simon, I think, and perhaps you'd agree, whereby just being there is very compelling, and that adds to the enjoyment, even though obviously the story matter, the subject matter of the play in this particular case is clearly what keeps your attention focused.
So audio description is a fantastic facility for those of us that are vision impaired, and there's more of it on the go. Vina, it's up to us, isn't it, to make inquiries to find out if we can get an audio-described performance.
It is, really. I mean, you will find, happily, that increasingly more and more venues, more and more theatres and concert halls who produce plays and drama and ballet and opera, etc., will be providing as part of their offering audio description. But it does, as you said a moment ago, Simon, bring things to life. It also helps you to appreciate, without being crass, the overtly visual dimension of whatever the production is. And if there are moments that the rest of the audience find either humorous or harrowing or nerve-wracking, whatever the emotion might be that's provoked by what is happening, particularly if it's overtly visual, you can share in that experience and that sentiment because of the audio description being provided live, often by two audio describers who've skillfully delivered their commentary, if I can put it that way, having based that on a very carefully crafted script so it doesn't clash with dialogue or interrupt the flow of the play, or indeed sort of get said at the wrong time so that maybe, you know, it's just that bit too late to appreciate the joke or whatever it might be. So it's a real skill, it's a real professional art form in its own right, audio description, and on this occasion Miranda did a great job. The other thing I would add, Simon, that obviously the audio description in itself is really, really important, and, you know, by all means, if there's not enough or you feel it's not provided for, you know, plays that or productions that you're interested in, talk to your theatre, whether it's someone in what is nowadays referred to as the creative learning department or education. Find out who's involved in access, and maybe the box office is a good initial, you know, port of call to find out your information. And the chances are that, you know, you can talk to someone at the theatre. If you do book for something that does appeal, then, you know, the what I call the audio described experience doesn't just include sitting in your seat and listening through your headset to the live audio description through the production itself, but it also includes, you know, the touch tour that we've mentioned just a little earlier in our chat, as well as the whole visit to the theatre. So from the moment you walk through the front doors or however you arrive at the venue, then, you know, it's a question of being made to feel welcome, knowing where the loos are, knowing how to pick up the tickets, knowing how to sort of find your program if that's what you want, knowing where to meet for the touch tour if you want a drink, a coffee, a bite to eat, making sure that perhaps staff can guide you, assist you, point you in the right direction. All of that is what anyone else with sight would want. It's so, you know, no reason why it shouldn't be there for everybody. And in my experience, you know, more and more venues are very keen to offer that, you know, all-round five-star service for audio described and other assisted shows.
Well, as always, you bring it all to life for us, Vidar. Now, the play we're talking about today is The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Night Time. And we thank you very much for going to see it. And we realise it's such a burden on you.
I am the privileged and the lucky one. And it is a terrific production, very powerful. The Theatre Royal in Nottingham is a really welcoming venue as well. And Emily Noakes, who's the front of house manager, or one of them, and her colleagues Margaret and on this occasion Kay, you know, couldn't have done more to ensure that we just got the most out of the matinee. So it was really, really good.
Vidar Yarding, thank you so much for your time. We'll catch you next week.
Nice to talk to you as always. Thanks, Simon.